hello, dear friends that like the old-time camp meeting. Amen. This is Brother Johnny. You better notice Johnny the Baptist, the moderator of the camp meeting hour. Amen. I want you to come in, sit down, enjoy the old-time singing and preaching, and we just invite you. I tell you, I'm so excited about this meeting here. I tell you the truth, I got goosebumps running up and down my back hearing the great singing, great preaching. Now, the first song that we're going to have here before the preacher comes around is going to preach a message on how to gain a brother. How do you go about gaining a brother? Now, the song that we're going to have first before the preacher comes around is, I just want to thank you, Lord. Boy, I tell you the truth, if you're saved by the grace of God and you've seen the stuff that Christ has pulled you out of and forgiven you, I'm so glad that when you get saved by the grace of God, not only are your sins forgiven for the past, but they're forgiven for the future too. Amen? So I bless his name for that. Thank you so much. Come in, raise your hands, praise the Lord, just shout along with us. Amen? I tell you the truth, I'm drugging a dog right now. Amen? And I'm ready for a good Holy Ghost meeting. Amen? Now here's the song and then the message on how to gain a brother. God bless you now. Well, it's preaching time, my friend. The title of the message is on how to gain a brother. Boy, there's a lot of folks out there we've hurt and offended that, boy, we sure need to try to go and get them back in and do a little repenting ourselves, preachers. Amen. People talk about how many they're getting in. I wonder how many we've run off. God bless you now on how to gain a brother.
The five messages that God's laid in my heart on what I believe was one of the great changing points of my entire life. I've been at the Calvary Baptist Church since they had 29 people. I've been there 26 years. I plan to stay until I can't preach. I don't plan to leave. I don't believe in church hopping. But there was an awful long time of my life where I destroyed the vineyard of God instead of building it. This evening, I'd like to preach a message I've only ever preached one other time. I preached it on the amphitheatre of Bob Jones University just a few months ago. I'd like to speak as a fundamental Separatist Baptist on to gain a brother. To gain a brother. James, the 5th chapter, verse 19 and 20. If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. With all of my heart, I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has two great missions in this old world. And some of the time we have failed in both of them. One, of course, is to preach the Word of God to get souls saved. But there is another mission. And I believe so often we have failed in this mission because it is so difficult. And that is gaining a wayward brother. I tell our preacher boys, it's just as important to win a backslider back to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's more important to win a backslider back to Jesus Christ than it is a lost sinner to Christ. Because the Bible tells us that if we win him back to Christ, we'll cover a multitude of sin. And he'll stop sending people to hell by his life if we do. Now, we have certain attitudes toward Christians. Our brother touched on it. Attitudes that are necessary. Number one, the Bible says that there are times when we must separate from a brother. The Bible says we must. Turn to your Bible to 2 Thessalonians, and we read that there are times when we must separate from one who is born again and knows Christ as Savior. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. Look over in verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In Romans, the 16th chapter, we read in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines we have learned, and avoid them. Now, dear friend, there are times, no matter how hard you try, there are times when we must separate from disobedient brethren. We must separate from those who are disobedient in their walk. We must separate from those who are disobedient in their philosophy, in their theology, and in their relationship. Now, I can meet a Christian. I can meet a man that's born again and wayward from the Lord, and I can say hello, be kind to him. But the Bible tells me that there comes a time in my life when there are Christians that I have to separate from. Now, it seems like since the day God saved me, I've been separating from Christians. But it's necessary. Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. And the Bible says the one thing that God hates above everything else is lukewarmness, which comes from putting hot and cold together. And so there are times when we need to separate from brother. And then there are times when we need to criticize a brother. That's the second thing. There are times when we need to criticize a brother. Many, many years ago, I started feeling bad because people said to me, Jordan, you're a name caller. You're a name caller. We're not coming to Calvary Baptist Church because you're always calling people names. You're always against the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the liberal. And I say, add the devil to it. I'm against him too. Okay? And so the Bible says that there comes a time when I must publicly oppose someone who says they're a Christian and harming the family of Almighty God. You go through the Word of God, and you'll find in 2 Timothy, every chapter in 2 Timothy, Paul warns Timothy of two different men in every chapter by name and tells them to avoid them. Okay? Jesus says Pilate, he says, tell that old fox, Herod, pardon me, tell that fox that I'm going to die in 3 days, I'll raise again from the dead. And then for all you lovers, let's go to the Apostle John. The Apostle John is the apostle of love. And yet, when he writes to Gaius, his own son of faith, he said, beware of Diotrephes. Beware of him. While he loves to have the preeminence. There comes a time. When you must, if you're a pastor, stand up and tell the people what's wrong. Let me tell you something, brother. God Almighty made the pastors shepherds. And the shepherds have got to warn the sheep about the bears and the wolves and the lions. I'll never forget, I was in a bookstore one time. We had a Mennonite turned Pentecostal up in our area. Set a tent up. And I was in a bookstore and I saw a Baptist preacher there. I said, "What you doing?" He had a whole handful of books. "What are they for?" He said, "Well, one of our chief deacons rolled down the aisle last night. Rolled and fumed and fussed in the dirt of the tent and spake in tongues, and our whole church is going down here." I said, "What you going to do with the book?" He said, "Well, I'm going to give all those folks that are getting confused these books." I said, "Man, well, you're giving those books out to the front door. They're taking 8 or 10 more out the back door." He said, "What do you think I should do?" I said, "Get up in your church and holler off. I can't vote for Bill. You get up and say his name is Durstein, Gerald Durstein. He's a Mennonite, and he's gone Pentecostal, and he's cracked. And here's where he's wrong, and you show them where he's wrong. Now there's time when you have to." Well, in case I haven't upset you yet, fasten your seatbelt. Mr. Van Impe came to Philadelphia in 1976. 76, I was invited to a meeting to have it. I was going to support him. I thought, Van Impe, that a fundamental separatist Baptist evangelist. So I go to a meeting. I go to a certain church, go through, and there's a girl sitting there, and I said, "Where's this preacher's meeting going on?" She said, "Just go down the hall and turn left, and there's an auditorium." And I went down, turned left, and I went and looked in the auditorium, came back and said, "Lady, that's not the group I'm meeting with. There must be another group meeting in this church." She said, "Well, who are you, Tom?" I said, "Well, what's the answer?" I told her. She said, "Oh, no, just go down and turn left." I went down and came back and said, "Lady, it can't be the group I'm meeting with." She said, "I'll take you to it." When she got up behind that desk, her dress was almost up to her appetite, a disgraceful situation. She leads me down and says, "There they are. They're set the biggest room full of long-haired, bushy-haired sissies I've ever seen in my life." I go in and sit down and say, "Well, they've been in the right group." And I walk in and sit down. I know the pastor. He was up leading. As soon as he saw me, he said, "Let's have a word of prayer." He prayed and he says, "Folks, the devil has just walked in." It's exactly what the man said. Okay? He said, "We've got to pray." He said, "Because somebody's come here to criticize us." And there they are. So I picked up the literature. The literature, the Ten Commandments for souls, for the personal worker. No long hair, no beards, no shagginess, no short dress. It's all around me. Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments for cooperating. You must be fundamental Separatist Baptist. I looked on the literature, the Presbyterian, Methodist. There's the Conservative Baptist Church that I pulled out of, thank God. And I was upset. He said, "Now, we're not going to answer any questions." He said, "If you want to ask any questions, we'll meet with anybody afterward." I took a friend along and I said, "I'll stay and watch the fort. You go and get us an appointment." We went to an appointment, sat there and said to these three men, "Now, let me ask you a question. You want us to cooperate in this thing? This thing's of the devil. God doesn't want this kind of stuff here. You think I'm going to send a convert back to a long-haired, shaggy-haired boy? It looks more like a girl than a preacher. You're out of your mind. Not going to do it. And I'm not going to send one back to a Methodist or a Presbyterian that's going to sprinkle them either. Not going to do it." Well, I went back to our church. Said, "Folks, we're not going to cooperate." "Why not?" I mimeographed the list for our church of all the churches they wanted to cooperate with. The deacons all had cardiac arrest. I get up in the pulpit and say, "Folks, we can't do it, but here's the biblical reasons we can't do it. You see, there are times we have to separate from a brother. There are times we've got to criticize him biblically. We've got to stand up and say, the fellow's going wrong, I can't go with him. And we're not going with him. I'm your pastor." Okay. Now, that's necessary. And then there are times we have to discipline a brother. Yeah. There are times you got to discipline a brother.
I don't know about your church, but we believe the Bible, so we believe in church discipline. You know, we don't believe anybody that sins in our church should be kicked out of our church. Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye are the spirits to restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, kindle it in yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so, visits are made in a home. And visits are made in a home. But a man says, I'm not going to give the lady up, or even though I'm married to another one. We never let somebody sin publicly and quietly resign from our church. If they sin publicly, we put them out publicly. And the reason we do is the whole community knows they're members of our church. And if we just let them resign and slip away, the community still thinks they're a member of our church. Well, when you put them out publicly, the community now knows they're not. They're not. So there's times when you got to separate from the brother. Sometimes you have to criticize them, and sometimes you have to discipline them. You really honestly do. But you know something? There are times when we need to gain a brother. There are times when there are Christians, pastors, and churches, and people who are untaught, who are unlearned. They're gone into new evangelicalism and doesn't think, I've got any idea what the truth really is. And if somebody would just take time to biblically befriend those brethren. And I tell you, I haven't had much in doing it. I really haven't. Until God touched my own heart and my own attitudes. Now, you know what we do? We say the new evangelical puts it this way, and so many fundamental Baptists do. What if you're going to gain a brother? You can't criticize him, so you got to go out and become like him. You don't gain a brother by coming like him. We were starting a church up in Stroudsburg, and the preacher boys came in and said, Preacher, you've got to go to that house over there. I said, okay. What's wrong? Oh, just knock on the door. I said, okay. I knocked on the door, and a fellow came out. Honestly, here's what he looked like. He had on orange fuchsia pants with a purple a real bright lavender top with his collar turned around with a green sash on it. And I said to him, my name's Jordan. I'm Pastor Cab Brother Church. We're trying to church in the area. Can I talk to you about the Lord? He said, sir, you are looking at the Lutheran pastor. I did not tell him what I thought. I said, what on earth are you dressed that way for? I did. I asked him. When a guy dresses that way, he dresses for somebody to ask him. He said to me, Reverend, you're one of those stupid fundamentalists that believe in separation. I said, you're right, I do. He said, I believe the only way you're going to win them is join them. I'll tell you something, brother. I told him, I said, do you really honestly believe that? Yeah. I said, are you taking dope to join the dope addicts? Are you drinking to join the drunks? And by the way, how does your wife like you? Going out to all the prostitutes so you can win them. You can become Bob Harrington that way. Oh, I thought I'd be waking some of you folks up and see you could be going to sleep down there. Let me tell you something. Our attitude is, if we're going to win a brother, let's go out and join him. You don't go out and join him. Man, if somebody's being eaten by the shark, I'm going to give him a hand, and I'm going to dive in with him. I want to try to get him out of there, but I'm not going to win with him. See? Okay. Well, now we either do one of two things. We either join him, or we begin to excuse his sin and say, come back into fellowship. We'll forget about everything, and we'll be friends. You can't forget about anything until it's under the blood. You can't excuse sin. If you're going to restore a brother, he's got to leave his sin. Okay? That's what you're out there for. You're going to restore a brother. Now, God's method is go to him alone. That's God's method. God's method is go to him alone, and then God's method is if you do and you're able to do it, you'll cover a multitude of sin. Our attitude in restoring any brother should be an attitude of humility, knowing that there, except for the grace of God, is me. If he's a drunk, if he's with somebody else's wife, I don't care what he's done. If he's a professed Christian,
except for the grace of God, there is you, all of you, right there. Hey, that should be just real humility. Let me tell you what happened to me. For 15 years of my life, more than that, probably 18 years of my life, I preached on gaining your brother, and I instructed our people how to gain Christians that are backslidden, and the people that they had offended or offended them, how to go to each other alone. And one day, when I was praying for revival in our own church, God Almighty put a tremendous guilt in my heart. Tremendous guilt in my heart. Why? Because for about 15, 18 years, I had a running pitch battle with Dr. Bob Jones. I mean, could anything good come out of South Carolina? Was my attitude. I'm not joking. I had a difference with him, and that difference festered and built and festered and built. And I'm preaching and leading people to Christ and telling everybody how to do it. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And of course, I knew he was trying to tell me, why don't you practice what you preach? I said, well, I'll do that. So I wrote Brother Jones a letter. And I said, Brother Jones, it's not God's will we be apart. Why don't you repent? I did. Ask him. Now, if you ever did that to Bob Jones, you know what kind of asbestos gloves you need for the next letter you're going to get. Boy, I got an epistle. It took a fire company to carry it to me. I said, there you are, Lord. He's not worth it. How can you reconcile to a guy as stupid and ignorant and dumb as that? Hey. So I got under conviction again. I thought I'd write him another letter. So I wrote him another letter. And I said to him, please won't you repent? And he wrote me back a carbon copy of his first letter. One day, not many weeks and months ago, I was on my knees praying. I was about to preach a sermon in our church on how to be reconciled to a brother. And I tell you, I was so overcome with guilt in my heart about my own sin. I just said, God, if you will give me a chance, I will gain a brother in Bob Jones. If you'll give me the chance. I'm not out on the campus. I don't blame the guy. I've hated him and talked about him and for 15, 18 years. If you'll just give me the chance, I'll take any pride and humility I got, and I'll put it in the depths of the sea, and I'll get this thing settled because I want revival in our church. And I got through praying. That was on a Friday night. On a Saturday morning, a lady called me up and said, Pastor Jordan, we had a good time at our banquet last night. I just wanted you to let you know that one of the members of our church got saved at a banquet last night. Oh, I said, fine, who was it? I'll get out and call on him. And said, so and so. I said, by the way, what banquet was it? Oh, she said, it was a Bob Jones banquet. Oh, I said, oh, about where? Where was this? In Coltsville. Now, you know, that's about, from my house to Coltsville, little town, is 2 miles exactly. I said, well, I'll praise the Lord, the person got saved. And they were going to hang up. I said, wait a minute, don't hang up. I said, you know, it's really too bad that Brother Jones isn't here. I'd like to talk with him. And she said to me, well, you know, the strangest thing happened, Pastor. I said, what's that? She said he was supposed to fly out after the bank last night, and he couldn't fly out. He's supposed to fly out this morning, and he can't fly out, so he's going to stay all day in that motel room. I said, fine. I'll see you. I got in my car and drove out town, and I kept busy for about an hour. I went to the AMP, and I finally said, Jordan, come on, just do what you know it's right to do. I went to the outside telephone there, and I called up that Holiday Inn, and I said, is it Dr. Bob Jones the third day? Yeah. I said, you could have get him on the phone. And I said, now, Lord, they're getting him on the phone. What am I going to say when he comes? Now, I'm a full-grown pastor. I'm a full-grown preacher. Got a Christian day school and a seminary. I got all these things. Supposed to be a leader of men. And here I am with sin in my own life toward a brother, and I'm second guessing. And so I'm saying, well, Lord, he probably isn't in. You ever knock on a door going visiting saying, they weren't there? And that's the way I was on that telephone call. Well, it wasn't long, I heard a voice saying,
hello?
I said, this is Dr. Jones, yeah. I said, this is E. Robert Jordan. Here's what he said, listen. Here? There is silence. And finally he said, well, yes. I said, Brother Jones, we have been in a battle between 15 and 18 years, and heaven has to be sick of what I have done. Now, could you and I get together today and get this thing under the blood of Christ? May not agree with you when we're done, but can we get the animosity and the hatred under the blood of Christ? I held my breath. You know what he said? He said, praise the Lord, I'd be glad to do it. What time do you want to come up? I'm in dungarees, haven't shaved. Here's the president of a college, you know, and I'm supposed to be reconciling to him. I figure I got to at least not look like some bum walking in off the street. I said, give me 15 minutes and I'll be there. Went out, had lunch at the Holiday Inn with him. Went out from there to the lobby of this huge Holiday Inn. Sat down in the lobby. And he said, Brother Jordan, what do you want to talk about? You know something? God enabled me to put into practice what I had preached. I said to him, Brother Jones, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I just want you to forgive me. I want you to tell me what I have to do in God's sight and your sight to be reconciled to you as a brother. Just tell me. You see, way down deep in me, that old nature kept saying, say we both done it. You don't get reconciled by saying we both done it. You get reconciled by saying I done it. I told the people that for years. I said, I've sinned against you in heaven. Would you just tell me what you want me to do to be reconciled with you? Because I said, I want heaven to rejoice over me. I want to gain a brother. He looked at me and said, Brother Jordan, all I ask is that you'd always tell the truth about me and give me the benefit of the doubt. I said, is that all you want, dear? I said, would you forgive me? He said, for what? I said, Brother, if I tried to tell you everything in 18 years, I'd never get it all done. I just got to ask you to forgive me of all the sin I've ever sinned against you. You know, it'd be like telling God all the sin I've done when I haven't said anything to God for 15 years. You forget most of it. And he said, I sure will. Then he said to me, he said, Brother Jordan, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to confess? What do you want me to say? You know, down deep in my guts, there was that old nature saying, boy, do I have a list for you. Well, I got a list for you that'll last till Christmas. But you see, God already gave me victory. I said to him, nothing. And that's the truth. You see, for me to be reconciled to him, he didn't have to do anything. I had to do something. And I said, nothing, brother. He said, come on. I said, honestly. He said, I don't think I've said about you. That's between you and the Lord. I started the fight 15, 18 years ago. I'm the guy that threw the first punch, and I'm the guy that's been keeping it up. And so I need to say to you, I'm sorry. He looked at me and he said, Brother Jordan, do you really mean it? I said, Brother, with all my heart and soul, you've only met me one time in my whole life. We'd only met one time in a whole life. And the battle's been going all over this country. And he looked at me and he said, you really? I said, you really mean it? He said, why don't we pray? I said, fine, let's pray. He said, okay, and he gets up, and I get up, and we bow right down in front of the everybody has to stop, because we're praying right in the middle of the room, right in the lobby. We get down, and I said, let me pray first. Now, I'm not sure, in fact, when I was in the nursery, I wasn't quiet. I'm boring loud, I'm like some of you guys, I'm loud. I just thank God for it, and ask God to forgive me, ask him to forgive me. He prayed. Let me tell you something, I don't want to be totally exclusive of what I'm going to say. It is the only time in my whole complete life that I ever remember asking somebody to forgive me. Standing there in the Holiday Inn, don't ask me to explain it to you. I'm not mystical, I'm not charismatic, but I know he and I became the very best friends on earth. I don't have a better friend, and I didn't have from that moment. I said to my son, who's our assistant pastor, I said, son, I can't explain it to you. But I went out of there as if, now you listen to me, I'm not deifying Bob Jones. He's a sinner and puts his pants on just like you and I do. I walked out of there with Bob Jones like I was walking out of there with God. Now, what do I mean by that? I walked out of there in the eyes of that man just as if I had never sinned. Now that's the way all of us are treat each other. You talk about gaining a brother. And I really did. He became just instantly the very best friend I've ever had on earth. I mean it. Let me see if I can make sure I tell you the truth. Yes, I have not seen him since that day. I have not seen him. That was in March, about March last year. Then a year ago, I haven't seen him since. And yet, that man's not a heartbeat away from me. That's how close he is. And I gained a brother. Had an enemy for 18 years. But I didn't pacify an enemy. I didn't say, well, I've done my part. Now we'll just let it go. I gained a brother. I mean that. I mean it all my heart and soul. I love him. I said to him, now, Brother Jones, you know, we're still going to disagree. Well, it's just been a fantastic romance. It really honestly has. God taught me, and I went from there down to Greenville, South Carolina, to the FBF meeting last year. A college president approaches me, another one, says to me, tell me it's true that what happened between you and Jones. I said, what? You and him are friends. I said, we sure are. He said, is it true that you really told the man you were sorry and you'd sinned? I said, yeah. He said, how about doing that to me? We were standing about three quarters of the way back in the aisle. It's the truth. I said, come on. He said, I'm going to speak. No, you're not, brother. I went to see Rodney Bell. I said, Rod, get somebody to take this guy's place. We'll be back. Went in the next room. I said, now sit down and tell me what I've done. He said, remember, 11 years ago you did this to me? And you did this. I said, brother, will you forgive me? He said, I sure will. I said, let's get down and pray about it. And so we got down and prayed. We've been great friends ever since. Dr. Bob III said to me and my older son, who's my assistant pastor, he said to me, how about having lunch with us today? We're having a big banquet. How about sitting with us? I said, okay. Had to go through a big, long line. And I'm going through a big, long line, and a face appears right in front of me. I thought the salad bar was coming. But I'm going along like this. And there's a man looking right in my eyes, saying to me, is it true? I said, yes, it's true. He said, how about me? Oh, there goes my lunch. I said, let's go, brother. We went over to the steam kettles. In the cafeteria at Bob Jones University where the bank was being held. And I said, what did I do wrong? And he told me, I said, would you forgive me? Well, he said, don't you think I know? I said, just will you forgive me? Yeah. I said, let's pray. We prayed. One of the best friends I've ever had. He's going to be preaching in our church a week from this Wednesday night. An evangelist. Okay. No matter where I go, people are saying,
How about me?
Yeah? And you know something? I haven't gained just a brother. God taught this pastor some tremendous lesson. You know, I've been a pastor now for 30 years. I can look back and see all the accomplishments of my life, of which some of them I thank God I have. I've built a church. We've built 30 churches besides our own, a seminary and a large Christian day school. So I have much to thank God for, I really do. What a lesson he taught me as a fundamental Baptist. But I needed times to separate from a brother. And I needed time to criticize him. And I needed time to discipline him. But there ought to be a time to gain him if I can. There ought to be a time to get on my knees with a man and say, let's forgive one another. Man, you know something? Guys and ladies and gals, listen to me. You know that I'm going to tell you it's true. 99.99.99.99% all problems between all Christians in all churches, between all pastors, are never doctrinal. They don't fight over the verse of birth. They don't fight over verbal inspiration. They fight over stupid, dumb things and gossiping, as his brother said, and backbiting, and he said this, and he said that, and you did this. What do you mean I did that? And we lose a brother. This brother said it when he got up here. We better identify who in the world we're supposed to be against. Amen. And then dear him. But it ought not to be my son, my brother across the line that I'm shooting at. You don't compromise for getting back. And you don't join him in getting back. You go on trying to win him back. But you don't give up conviction. Dr. Bob Jones didn't say to me, well, now, Jordan, if we're going to get together, I got about 7 Presbyterians. I want you to come to your church. He didn't say that. I wouldn't do it anyhow, but he didn't say it. He didn't say to me, now, Jordan, now that you're there, I want you to give up that bastard Baptist name. Huh. My tattoos may go. Those are B.C., before conversion. But my Baptist name is not going to go. He didn't ask me to do that. He just said, hey, how about just tell the truth about us, and if you got facts, check in with me before you repeat them. Why not have a good attitude and the right attitude toward me? See, I've only seen him one time. And yet, I know that heaven can record tonight that he's probably the best friend I have on earth. And I've gotten many more friends since then. It's utterly amazing. How many people have come to me and said, how about you and I pray? And instantly have a brother. Not an enemy anymore. And I say to myself, Jordan, all those years. All those years. Why couldn't you have done it so much sooner? Well, what I didn't learn, I pray that you'll learn. You'll learn before you're 55, and before you've sent people to hell, and before you've gotten your reputation on somebody else's blood. If we're going to get a reputation, let's get a reputation of being fundamental Baptist. Let's get a reputation of being soul winners. Let's get a reputation of being biblicists. Let's not get a reputation of killing our own men. There are some football players and basketball players who only have one fame. They ran the wrong way and scored the wrong goal. It ought not to be you and me. It ought not to be. And gentlemen, I would only challenge you to search your hearts. The men you disagree with. Do you really disagree with them doctrinally and on principle? Or is it personal? There's an awful big difference. See, the things we disagree doctrinally, man, there's no give. There's no give. But personal, all it takes is your pride. That's all it takes. All it takes is to go to the smallest man on earth, the largest man on earth, no matter who it is, and say, listen, have I done something wrong against you? Yeah. What is it? And the authority, instead of defending yourself and excusing yourself, just say, would you please forgive me? I promise you by God's grace never to do it again. Would you forgive me? Now, most people aren't prepared for you to do that. And when you do it, usually if they're Christians, God has so prepared them, their heart without them knowing it, that they're going to have revival with you. You really are. To gain a brother. Gaining my brother has become one of the goals of my ministry. I'm not going to compromise to get him. And I'm not going to join him to get him. I'm not going to be on his platform to get him. And he's not going to preach in my church to get him. But I'll love him and forgive him and pray for him and pick him up. I'll do 1,000 things for him. And you know something? Bible says if you do, you'll save a life from death and you'll cover a multitude of sin. You don't have any idea. Honestly, Brother Dickerson and me, most of you have no idea how much sin was covered that day in March. Dr. Bob Jones and I get on our knees all over this. Dr. Jones tells me that there isn't one state in this union that somebody hasn't contacted him. What a shame. Now, I thank God that the good news has spread that far, but what a shame. That rotten testimony has covered every single state in this union. The souls I've led to Christ are not. Churches that I've started are not. Missionaries I've supported are not. But a lousy bloodletting attitude has covered every single state. Now, I thank God the report has come back. But would to God that as a pastor, I hadn't gotten so busy doing a lot of things that I didn't do that which was needful for my brother. And that is just to kindly and humbly go and say, hey, what's between us? It's not doctrinal. We believe alike. What's between us? And then get on your knees and just say, hey, where I'm wrong, I want you to forgive me. God will bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for that Christian brother I have. Now, he's probably flying around someplace in some foreign field someplace because Jones has never settled down anyplace. I pray for this college president and this evangelist and other people that I'm now reconciled with and who are my absolute good friends. Now, Lord, how I pray that as fundamental separatist Biblicist Baptists, you'd help us to be soul winners. You help us have good doctrine. Help us to stand and fight for the faith.